Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Dead Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me is Yevgeny.
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, awesome. So, Yevgeny, why don't you take a moment and introduce yourself?
So, my name is Yevgeny Krivosheyev, and I'm program manager in the SQL Server team, and today we'll be talking about two exciting backup features that we did for the SQL Server vNext.
Perfect. So, I would have slaughtered your last name, so I stuck with your first name, but it's a pleasure to have you on the show, so thanks for coming. So what are the two topics we're going to be talking about today?
We come up with the two backup features for the SQL Server vNext, whatever it would be. It's a backup to Azure with a block blobs. And
okay.
I will talk about that little later, probably.
Okay.
And another one is a backup to Azure with a file snapshot.
File snapshot, okay. So today, I know in 2000, you could do it a little bit in 2012. 2014, you can do a backup to Azure. Right, of a database. What's the difference?
Actually, it started from 2012. Your memory serves you well.
Yep.
It started from 2012 Service Pack 1 CU2,
mm-hmm.
when we first introduced backup to Azure. And the main thing that came up with that it was implemented as a VDI client for the backup, how it interacts with the SQL Server
yep.
database engine. There's some limitations imposed by the way it's implemented.
Yeah.
Those limitations not really impacting the way how it do the backups.
Yep.
However, there's still some limitations due to other technologies.
Yep.
And at the same time, there's some limitations that came into play when you try to do the restore and you're seeing some performance
yep.
slowdowns, and that's probably the most important point in time when you really need the performance from the
right.
backup subsystem.
Okay.
So this is why we decided to come up with those new features. First, it's a backup to block blobs.
Okay.
And the main thing about backup to block blobs that now it's part of the database engine.
Okay.
It doesn't rely on any VDI client interfaces, so it's fully managed inside the database engine. So all the backup features are available.
Okay.
There is only one database feature which is left behind. It's append. We don't support append for the backup to Azure at all.
Yeah. Okay.
Because this is basically tape feature, so we don't want to really invest
right.
much into supporting that.
All right. Well, let's dive in. So, what is the key difference between what we see in 2014? Now, you said there's some technology differences. What's the big difference between what we know today in 2014 and what kind of what we're seeing? You know, in the whole vNext scenario.
So the main thing that come up with old thing, because it's VDI client,
VDI
it's
client?
Okay. basically single threaded. How it communicates with a DB engine. It's
yep.
not really single threaded, but it's sequential.
But so in vNext, it's more
parallel.
More parallel, part of the core engine.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
So it's easier for the engine to manage it correctly, and with the when you're doing backup, it's okay because engine just will push as much data as it can through that VDI interface, and
yep.
that would just work.
Yep.
When you do the restore, engine cannot just pull as much data as it can because before it restores the current block, it doesn't know
yep.
how many other blocks it may need. So the sequential part
yeah.
came to play, and because when you're in the cloud, you're talking about higher latencies
see, yep.
compared to the disk subsystem, and when those higher latencies just adds to each other, which is each block you deal with the latency,
right.
each block adds to that latency, and in total you have a bigger slowdown that we wanted to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, so what do we got?
So with the backup to block blobs, we have kind of two important things. So let me actually just jump to the demo.
Okay.
Okay. So let's take a look on the backup to block blob feature. First change that you would notice when you just start looking into that it manages security differently.
Okay.
If you remember the existing backup to Azure feature, it requires you to supply the storage account key.
Mm-hmm.
This storage account key has few disadvantages. First, there is only two storage account keys per storage account. Second disadvantage that storage account key gives you full control over the storage account. There is no any granularity provided by that.
Yeah, so once you have access to that, you have
yeah,
full access.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So what we did, we used another Azure security feature, which is called shared access signature URLs.
Yep.
And those also can be joined with server policies that's stored on the Azure server.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you granular control that could be also limited to specific container. It could also give you just read-only access if you wish, and so on.
Shared access signatures are policies you can apply on the container level or the actual blob that says, hey, what credentials do you have? What authorization do you have? Read, write, things like that.
Yeah.
So very granular over the standard, here's your access key, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another cool feature is that they can expire. You can specify the expiration date.
Yeah, exactly. You can give a specified time limit, right?
Yeah.
This expires. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's great.
So this is just an example how you're going to create it. It's not it doesn't have the right secret here.
Yep.
Just because we don't want to share it on a video.
Gotcha.
But everything else is real.
Well, so just as a side note, so if you ever do, create a database in Azure, that's the same thing, right? Right. So if you're familiar with that, if you're creating a database, it's the same thing. You'll create a shared access signature and same construct, right?
Yeah. So that's another thing that we're going to do here. We're trying to unify the security story between the SQL Server and Azure.
Yep. Cool. Okay. So you've already got your shared access signature created.
Yes, right. I have it created, and those providing me access to the container. And SQL Server requires you to specify the shared access signature on the container level, not on the individual blob level.
Yep.
So now let's take a look on the backup statement. You would probably notice there are two differences compared to the older version of the backup to Azure. First, if you see there are multiple stripes that I'm using.
Mm-hmm.
This was a thing which was not possible before with the older version.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing, if you would see, there is no with credential statement. The reason for that, because now we have a credential which name is basically the container name.
Mm-hmm.
We could just identify this credential. And even more than that, now you can potentially have multiple credentials associated with a single backup statement. So I'm not using that advanced part here, but you potentially could have different containers or even different storage accounts as a part of the single backup statement if you wish to have that. It doesn't mean that I'm suggesting to do that, but that's a possibility now.
Right, okay.
So and I'm just going to execute that backup statement. The backup statement, as you would see, it will not take much difference when you do that with the multi stripes or just with a single stripe, so it's more or less the same.
Okay.
But why I need those two different backups, because I'm going to show the difference that you would have between the performance of multi stripes and a single stripe.
Oh, okay. So it's the same thing. Well, here in the top here, you're doing a multi-stripe, and here, same thing. You're just doing a single stripe.
Exactly. This is the same database. I'm just backing up into the single file and five files.
Okay, perfect.
So one other thing, before I will just go into restore. One other good thing why we call it backup to blog blobs, because there are two types of blobs on Azure: page blobs, which were made as a replacement for the normal disk subsystem. So they reflect the sectors and allow the structures of the disk as much as possible.
Yep.
Also, there's triple reservation behind those page blobs, which makes them quite expensive.
Yeah.
This made because when you deal with a disk subsystem, if something fails, you don't want to recover your copy on the fly. You would like to have an access to that immediately.
Sure, yep.
That's why.
That makes sense.
And the blog blobs do all the parity stuff behind the hood, so they use two times less space. So those are two times cheaper.
Yep.
And when you do the backups, you don't really care if your backups and restores would be a little bit slower, potentially if there's any failure in the Azure storage. But what you want to have, you would like them, because you're storing them for a long time, you would like them to be stored for less money.
Yeah.
That's why we switched from the page blobs to blog blobs. And you can still use the old feature. It will direct you to the blog blobs.
Okay, so the big difference, another big difference is when you're backing up, we're not backing up to a page blob anymore.
Yeah.
So we're backing up to block blobs now.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
So block blobs impose its own limit to, because maximum size which you can get from the individual page blob is 1 terabyte.
Yep.
Block blob gives you 200 gigabytes. But because you have striping possibility here, you can get your
well over a terabyte if you want to break it up into blocks, right?
Well over 12 terabytes.
Yeah, okay, perfect.
So now let's just go and restore the database. First thing I'm going to do is restore it from the single file. We're just going to notice how much time it takes.
Yep, we're keeping an eye on the counter. So far, we're up almost to 10 seconds here.
It should be about 15 to 18. Yeah, 11. Okay, now let's see if we could get a better result with the five stripes.
Yep.
Yeah, and sorry for that. Red error, that's actually pre-release software, so that's why.
So ignore that part right now. This is CTP2. Yeah. All right, so the first one was 11 seconds. What's this going to take?
Because database is not huge, it can be as, we got the same. No, we got slightly better time. Actually, the bigger database you would have, the bigger difference you would see. Mm. Even with that database, because we depend on the network and a tiny network glitch, you see the total time is about 10 to 12 seconds. Mm-hmm. Tiny network glitch actually diminishes those differences.
Right. Okay.
So, but when you have really large database, you would see the real difference.
Right. So yeah, the fact here that we're just seeing you're using a small database, so it's not going to be that.
Yes.
Right. But if we've got like a 500 gigabyte database, we're going to see some significant difference between the striped version versus a single block version. Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense, and I think as people can test this, I think you'll be able to find that out.
Okay, that's it. And now let's move to the...
Perfect. So that was backing up to block blobs.
Yeah.
Right? And so again, just a quick recap. We're now backing up not to page blobs, but to block blobs.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Perfect. All right.
So now let's move to the next feature. And before talking about that next feature, I just would like to remind you that there's another feature exists in a SQL Server since SQL Server 2014, which is called SQL Server Data Files in Azure Storage.
Yep.
What does it mean? It means that you, instead of putting your data files on disk, you can put them directly as an Azure blob in Azure Storage.
Yep.
The syntax is pretty simple. It's similar to what you have seen for the backup to block blobs. You create your shared access signature key.
Just like you would today, yep.
Yeah. And then instead of specifying your file path, you're specifying your URL path of the Azure storage.
D colon or E colon or F colon / path. You're just saying, here's my blob container and blob file.
So there are multiple reasons why we do that, but what's important why I'm showing it here, because the next feature we're going to talk about is a backup to Azure with file snapshots. It depends on that feature. It could only work with databases that uses that feature.
And Azure. Okay, perfect.
And now...
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Now let's talk a little bit about that backup to Azure with file snapshots feature.
Mm-hmm.
So how does it work? So we need a database which stores all its files in Azure blobs directly. No intermediate VHD files.
Yep.
Then we are going to issue the backup statement, which looks pretty similar to what we have in a normal, except that it's specified this file snapshot.
With file snapshot, okay.
So we think, okay, we have a database, let's find it. Let's ask Azure Storage to create a snapshot from those blobs. And the snapshot is a pretty fast operation. It's usually sub-second operation that Azure can do with any blob.
Okay.
It's like a putting pointer on your data file. It's just putting a label. That's why it's very fast.
Okay.
And then when it's created, we're going to create the backup file. And the backup file is it doesn't have any data payload. Instead of that, it references the snapshots we have just created with a snapshot operation from Azure. This is how it works in a nutshell.
Okay. So it's a multi-start. When you execute this, first thing it does is it creates a snapshot, which just creates pointers to your databases.
Yes.
And the backup takes the backup from that snapshot,
yes,
which makes it a much faster process.
Yes. There are a few complexities that came from the way we're doing that.
Yep.
The way technology creates. So now instead of having just a single backup file, you have three files which are part of your backup. Your backup now consists of multiple parts. And to add to that complexity, those two snapshot parts are not really visible. So there are some tools that show them correctly. There are some tools which hide them behind the blob name.
Yep.
And not all operations are available on the snapshot because technically those are still part of the blob. It's just the labels or pointers inside those blobs.
Yep. Okay.
So we would be adding some limitations in the way how you operate in a database that uses backup feature just to make sure that you will not accidentally corrupt your backups.
Okay.
And let's just take a quick look on how you can do the backup.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do here is just to show you how big the database is. Do you see in total it's 60 gigabytes?
Yep.
So it's a quite big database. Now let's do and take a backup of that 60 gigabytes database. So it's done.
Wow.
It's done.
Take
a look on the actual time. And that database actually has some data in it. It's not like it's completely empty.
Right.
I put some data into it. Now let's do the restore. And one thing I'm going to point here, I'm placing the stats to 5, which means the report every 5% of data move. Mm-hmm. And you will not see any of these stats reported, because we basically do no data copy operation. But at the same time, notice it's running longer.
Mm-hmm.
Why it's running longer? Because we need to process the log. We need to go through the log and make sure that there's no transactions left behind, so that we process them correctly. So actual copy part took
about 2 seconds.
Two seconds.
Yep.
But actual processing was 12 seconds.
Usually
you don't really notice this day, this time, except if you're doing something really unusual with your log.
Yep.
Just because your data copy operation is way, way, way longer than this stage.
Yep.
But here you see there is no actual processing time, and the only processing time you see is on the
logs,
on
when
the
it's
log.
Going to go to fresh information, fetch information from the logs, right?
Is there
any transactions happening, things like that? Yep.
Another thing I would like to mention about that with that new feature, because we're taking backup of all the files that exist for the database,
mm-hmm.
on every backup, whatever you do, we don't really need you to take the full database backup.
Right. Okay.
You need to do that once. Let me correct myself. You need to do that once just to establish the backup chain.
Yeah.
After that point, you're only taking log backups. You can take the database backups or full backups, but you don't really need that. And I'm just going to show how this works. Do you see I'm taking backup log of the same database?
Mm-hmm. Same thing, very fast.
And then I'm going to restore database from that log backup. Do you see that the same file name?
Yep.
I just took the backup of it.
So you backup the log, now you're going to restore the log.
And I restore the database.
Yep. Or restore database. Okay, yep.
So you could use your log backup as a database backup now.
Oh, fantastic.
Now let's quickly go back to our deck. Because I'm going to talk about one other thing, which is also important part of this file snapshots feature.
Right, okay.
When you do the traditional backup, you take a lot of different backups. Usually you do large full backups on some more or less rare occasions. Depends on the database. It could be weekly, it could be monthly, it could be even daily if you really need to do that so fast. Then you take some of the log backups, then on little more
frequently you do
the differential backups. And the reason for that, why you're doing the differential, because you don't want to go through all the log backups in case you need to restore. So this is a kind of tiny balance between how much time you spend on backing up your database and how much time you would need to spend in case of unfortunate event.
Right.
So now let's imagine that something bad happened somewhere in the middle of this log backup, and you would like to restore that situation. You would need to have your full backup, you need to have your last differential backup, you need to have all your log backups.
Yep.
So what we would have with a backup to Azure with file snapshots. Again, same situation, same unfortunate event, you need to restore. You can take only two last log backups.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Because this log backup also your full database backup.
Hmm.
So you only need two backups adjacent to this event.
Right.
So let me correct me.
Okay. Yeah, so in worst case scenario, in the backup, you know, to Azure with file snapshot, you only need the one previous to it, and then the one currently,
yes.
The one subsequent next to it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fine. So your restore and your recovery is much faster.
Yeah, and on top of that, it just restores faster.
Yeah, it restores faster. Yep.
Let me show how this works. So I'm doing the backup database just to establish the database chain. You don't really need that to do that in the real world. As I'm saying, you do that once. When you create your database, you do that once, and then you don't need to come back to that.
Okay.
Then I do the backup log for the first time. Then I do my transaction T1.
Yep.
So I did my transaction T1. I'm starting my transaction T2. And I'm switching to another window, to another session, just to do the backup of the log for the database when we are in the middle of the T2 transaction. And then I'm going to commit that transaction. So basically, the log backup I took doesn't have the end of that transaction.
Yeah.
And now let's do backup of the log after the transaction T2.
Okay.
So now let's see what we have in the table. You see, we have two transactions. We also would need the table. Let me take this value because we would need it in order to correctly specify the recovery time. Let's restore it to, for example, 10 seconds. Now let's go restore. So let's restore the database,
yep.
Which, and again, we're using log for that restore. I'm just kind of showing that this is a log backup.
Yep.
We don't use the database backup we took. And then let's do log backup, which will stop right before the transaction T2 was committed.
Okay.
And now let's see what we have. We have only transaction T1.
Yep.
So you did exactly what you wanted. You restored the database to the point when you didn't have the wrong transaction.
Right. Okay. Yep. That's fantastic. So again, very very quickly, I can go in and say, all right, I'm going to restore. I don't have to go and do a full, then some differentials. It's just Two quick backups, restores from the database, restores from the transaction log. There's my data, right?
Yes.
Very granular as to how I can specify,
yeah,
and where I can back up to, from.
Yeah, there are a few other beauties of this file snapshots backups.
Okay.
One of them that is probably would be the less expensive way how you do the backups, just mm-hmm. because we don't really copy the data, so you don't have an extra copy of the data. You just have pointers on your existing data stream.
Okay.
Another thing that it probably would be the fastest backup feature in the whole SQL Server. It would be even faster than VSS snapshot backups. The reason for that, because VSS snapshot backups still do the traditional log backups.
Mm-hmm.
And it does the locking of the database differently as well. So we do that more granularly, so we don't hold database for so long time. So that helps both workload and the backups to operate faster. Another thing that I would like to mention is that because the way how it is done,
mm-hmm.
you still need to keep few limitations in mind.
Okay.
One I mentioned already. That's only for database which stores data directly in Azure.
Yep.
Another thing is how you manage your data. You cannot have unlimited number of snapshots and don't have consequences. So at some point, your performance with Azure storage performance for your blob would start regressing. So you need to keep that under control.
Okay.
So we're also providing you with stored procs and TVFs that you can use to manage your snapshots.
Okay.
You can use all the traditional PowerShell as well. It's also available.
So keep your snapshots to a manageable.
To a manageable number. Because basically, when you access the Azure storage and trying to do something with data, it just should traverse all the snapshots available here if there's too many of them. So that just became too long operation.
Okay, cool.
Another thing which we do, because your database files now tightly linked to your backup files, when you do some operations like drop file or drop database, we would allow operation to continue, but we will not actually drop the files or drop the database files when you do the drop database, and we will issue a warning for you.
Okay.
So you would know that, hey, what I'm doing right now potentially has a potential to impact my backups. I need to be careful here.
Okay.
So that's what we're doing here.
Okay.
And another place where we would behave differently is with encryption. So there is a backups database to some place with encryption statement that you can also use with snapshot backups. But it would work differently. If you specify that thing, because we don't really do the data copy operation, we cannot encrypt your data on the fly.
Yep.
So we would rely on a transparent data encryption feature, on TDE feature of the SQL Server. And we will check if database is actually fully encrypted. So when encryption is in progress or it's not encrypted and you specify backup with encryption and with file snapshots, we will fail the backup just to give you false sense of security.
Right, okay. That's good to know. Now, is there any difference between, you know, we spent just a few seconds on the create database in Azure. Is there, you can do that today. Is there any technology difference, or are there any feature difference between what you can do in SQL Server 2014 and SQL Server vNext, or is that fairly the same?
It's fairly the same.
Okay.
So there's no difference available.
Okay, but what you have added is the ability, hey, we can do snapshots on top of that and what we've seen here.
Right? Yeah.
Okay, great. Awesome. Yevgeny, thank you so much for your for coming on the show. This is fantastic. So, is there documentation that our viewers can go look at now? So if they have any feedback or things like that, they can reach out to you?
Yeah, there is documentation which accompanies the CTP2 that they can take a look on and start using those features immediately.
Okay.
And actually, backup to blog blobs feature was available since CTP1. So
okay. But if they have any feedback or things like that, they can read.
Absolutely.
Put your email address right in the description. And they can reach out to you, or through Connect. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Okay.
True Connect would work as well.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming. Appreciate your time. This is great stuff. If you have any feedback, there's the man you want to talk to. Anyway, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.